Everybody get settled down. We're fixing to start Bible school today, but as I was up here in the choir and I looked out here, looked at all these kids. There's 20-something kids right there, littler ones. They was 12 or 14 teenagers right here. And I don't know how many young people. I couldn't count them all. I was looking. But I tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our people that work with all these kids. Every one of you, I couldn't call every one of you's names. But I tell you, I appreciate it. I'm thankful for our youth program and all that's going on with our youth. We're seeing young people saved and seeing these young people in church hearing the Word of God taught and preached. And I tell you, I'm just thankful. David and all the workers, Teresa, every one of you that works with these young people and helps guide their lives, this will be something that they'll carry on through life. They'll remember this. It's just like Melvin just made a comment. He gives all these little kids a piece of candy, and they remember that. He said he remembered way back, probably in the 50s, I guess it was, my daddy would stand out here on the front porch and give the kids a piece of chewing gum, piece of juicy fruit chewing gum. But those kids remember that, and it may be that one day they might get out of the way and they might think of that Melvin, give them that little piece of candy in church and bring back remembrance and get them back in church. You don't never know. The seeds being planted in these young people, the teenagers, I tell you, I'm just truly thankful for all at work here. I appreciate every one of you.
Okay, we're about ready. Got something special for everybody. Y'all ready? Y'all fired up? Okay, let me tell you, we're in a world right now that's kind of wrote off the younger generation. I'm not ready to do that.
Amen.
I believe there's hope. I believe there's a promise. By far. Because, I'm not ready to write them off yet. So they've got some Bible verses. Y'all get them stood up here, wherever they need to be. Get them so everybody can see them if you can. Before they go out, wait just a minute before they go out. I don't know how y'all feel. I think we ought to send them out for dinner one day. What do you think, church? Where y'all like to go? Of course, McDonald's. But I think we need to set a time and a trip that the church sponsors them to McDonald's or wherever they want to go to eat. Everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, take them out of here. We owe y'all a dinner. After listening to them, I'll put them up against anybody here. Any challenges? Anybody want to challenge this group? Shane and Samantha, when I finish here, y'all got a song ready? Just really fire one up, okay? What a beginning to Bible school. Amen. That's a good way to get it kicked off and started, isn't it? I want to look at a few verses of Scripture this morning, if you'll turn with me. And I want to start some in the Old Testament. If you'll turn to the book of Job in chapter 9, I'm going to do a few verses of Scripture there, and then I'm going to turn over to the book New Testament and St. Matthew. All week, I've thought about this a lot. I look around, I see the problems that people have, the troubles they face, and I always go back and think about Job. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on his problems, but if you read the book of Job, you're going to find that he lost his children, he lost his sheep, he lost his cattle, he lost pretty much everything. And when I get thinking about hearing about other people having strife and troubles in life, as compared to Job, they're really nothing. We hadn't even started to go through the things that he went through. And so I see times that people start going through situations and, they begin to doubt God. They begin to have a wonder and think, is God in this or not? I want to tell you, God's always in it. God's always in it, without a doubt. And so if you're going through some situation or problem in your life, I want to preach this message to you this morning, just as Job said. So Job chapter 9, and verse 1. You turn there with me. Understand, he's been through all these situations, all these problems. His kids are gone. All of his wealth's gone. All his hope for a living is gone. And God has allowed this to happen. But I want you to see the mentality of Job right here in chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. So he started saying, I don't have a doubt with God. You know, all these things is happening, all these things befell me. Verse 4, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. Now, that's a big thing to understand. You know, that a lot of times people, hardship and troubles come. First thing they do, they want to turn away from God. But Job's saying it very plain right here. He said, who has hardened himself against him and hath prospered? In other words, it's done nobody no good at any time to turn away from God. Job, although all these problems are set, he never one time had a doubt that God's hand was still on him and God could perform the work that he had promised him he'd do. In verse 5, he starts talking about the greatness. It said, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out to heaven and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He starts talking about the greatness of God and his power and his ability to do all things. And so he never one time doubted God. I want you to know, troubles come, troubles go, but God always is and God always will be. And he's the God of our life, whether it be in trouble or not. When Job had an opportunity, he could have turned away from God. His friends came around and he said, just turn your face, curse God and die. But Job knew better. He had a better understanding about how God worked and how God performed things in his life. And we start looking at the greatness of God. How can we doubt a God that can remove the mountains? What does it say? To make the earth tremble and makes the stars rise and sealed up the stars. And a God of all power and all greatness. How can we doubt that God's not in control? As I read these things, I thought about, you know, I get up a lot of mornings and I have a desire in my life. I'd say, God, if I could just do something for you today. You know, sometimes I'm blessed with the opportunity. Sometimes I don't know if I did or not. But most of the time I find if I'm available, if I desire to do something for God, I can do it. And then I got the question, a God that can move mountains, a God that can make the seas, a God that made all the heavens and the earth. What can I do for this God? When you start thinking about, if I could just do something for God. And you know, it puts me in a place sometimes that we wonder, say, well, what could I do for God? First is be faithful in what he asks you to do. Be faithful in the service to him. Let's look at St. Matthew. Turn with me, if you will. St. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. For everybody that's hunting something they can do for God, you think, well, he's a God that don't need anything. Mm-hmm. We could agree with that. You think, well, he's a God of all power and all greatness, all riches, all these things. But I want you to listen to this scripture in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So we're talking about Jesus. Y'all know Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three agree in one. And so if you do it to one, you do it to all. And so Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, and it talks about and sit upon the throne. And so we're talking about Jesus. You want to do something for the Lord? Listen very closely to this. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Now, notice this. We're talking about judgment. He said he's going to set them on the left and on the right, and he's going to have something to say to both sides. Amen. Jesus won't be short of words that day, I guarantee you. He'll have something to say to both sides. Now, I want to tell you this so you'll have it in mind as we go on through this about judgment. You know, it said every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's amen. And then here we are reading about another judgment. I say amen. And most of the time I've ever heard judgment preached, you know what he talks about, and most people preach it, that people are quivering inside and their knees knocking. I want you to know there's two sides to judgment. I believe there will be those that won't be condemned. I believe those that will receive a reward from God because of the things they've done in this life, in this body. This king, Jesus, verse 35 said, "For I was a hungry, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." You want to do something for God? Do it to your brother. Do it to your sister. Do it to your neighbors. Do it to your work people. This is what I'm the answer I've got today. A lot of people say, "Well, what could I do that God needs?" I'm telling you, look to your brothers, your sisters, everybody around you, and it said, "As much as you've done it unto one of the least, you've done it unto me." You want to do something for God? Do something for your brother. Pretty plain? Real plain, isn't it? Boy, he gives us a whole list. I don't think anybody'd have a problem finding something to do. I hear people all the time, "Well, I don't know what I can do." It said, "I was hungered and you gave me meat." You could feed somebody in need. Amen. Very plainly. It said, "I was thirsty and you gave me drink." Pretty easy, isn't it? You want to do something for God? Do one of these things. It said, I was sick and you visited me. Boy, that's kind of a really easy thing to do. Have you ever thought about when you make a visit to one of your sick brothers or sisters in Christ, that God accounts it as you did it to him? You want to come in the presence of Jesus? Visit somebody sick. You want to feel the power of God? Feed somebody that's hungry. Give the thirsty something to drink. You know, I don't think we ever ought to have the problem of finding something to do for God, having this list. If you're wondering, "Well, what could I do for God?" Turn right back here and read down this list. It's pretty easy. That's the question. So, when are we doing this for you? "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least, you've done it unto me." You want to do something for God? Here's a list of things. Pick you out one. Say, "Well, I think I'll..." It said, "Naked and you clothe me." You know, we got a great need in this nation we live in that we're so blessed, but yet we still have hungry children. We still have thirsty children. We still have children that need clothing. Not just children, but adults too. And so when we start looking for something to do... Now, when we talk about this, I want you to know... In verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand. And so there's a plus and a minus in this. There's a plus and minus. You can see it. We're talking about judgment. He talks to the good up here. He said, "The king said on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And so here's one side of the judgment that he is praising them, that he's giving them credit for what they've done in this life, in this body. And then down a little bit farther, verse 41, he's going to also talk to the left. I'm telling you, Jesus won't run out of words that day. He'll have something to say to everybody. You won't be left out. And you're going to fall one side or the other. And he's going to have something to say. Then on his left, he said, "Depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and he gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and he took me not in. Naked, and he clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and he visited me not." And so we have the list coming down again. He said, these are the things that some did. These are the things that some didn't do. And so when we start looking for something to do for God, I'd advise you, just turn over and go to this list. Got a neighbor in need? Do something for him. Got a brother or sister in need? Do something for him. Now, there's plenty of hardships. You can look to the book of Job and see what he went through. I read this, and I got thinking about his neighbors came around. It was all negative. Everyone that came to him had something negative to say. They didn't try to fix the problem. They just come and compounded it, tell him, well, you must have done this, you must have done that, you must have sinned. They had no good. They had no intentions of helping him. They just wanted to condemn him. Not about condemning. Sometimes I think we don't even need to worry about the situation. If that's what it is, that's what we handle. What an opportunity God gives us to write the pages of our book. And I guarantee you, your book's going to be read. Jesus is going to open it. He's going to look through it. When we stand this judgment, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's not going to change. It's going to happen. I hope we don't be the ones that's trembling and our knees knocking together because of what we hadn't done. I hope we can be the ones that stand up and head high and say, I did what I could. I did what I could. That's what our church is based and founded on. And we as the members have to keep that going and uphold it, or it can change. Amen. I'm going to stop sharing. Samantha. I don't know. Somebody will come up here and sing. Call the names wrong. Amen. They're going to sing and we're going to be dismissed after this. Pray about Bible school. If you can come by and visit. I mean, doors are open to everybody. If you can, come by and visit. If you can't come by later, try to walk through there today and see Gotham City. I'm telling you, it's down there. I didn't know Gotham City was in Georgia, but I believe it is. I believe it is. She's going to help you. Yeah.
disciples are getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the storm. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him. He said to them, where is your faith? 'Cause you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease.